We're going to read about a man called Samson. And we'll begin to read in verse 4, and then we'll go back and we'll kind of lead up into his life, or lead up with his early life, and then preach what God has given us. Judges chapter 16, look with me in verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money now, and that was a huge amount of money then. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dry, then shall I be weak and be as another man. And then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. And now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new robes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait, abiding in the chamber, and he brake them off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awakened out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou mockest me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. I'm going to park right here and say this. I wouldn't tell her either. Okay? But Samson messes up. And in verse 16, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, he told her all his heart. Boy, this is where he gets in trouble. And said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she went and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. And then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And here is the scariest verse in the Bible to me. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for helping us all the times past in preaching. But those times are past. And Lord, we're looking for some help this morning. Looking for you to come by and touch and anoint us afresh. And Lord, just to guard our mind and our thoughts. Lord, to help us in body today, but to help us in spirit. And to help us in soul. We ask that if there's somebody here that's lost, I pray they'd get saved. I pray they'd come to know you in the free pardon of sin. Just as that song said, that you still save old sinners. And we're thankful for that today. Lord, we ask and pray whatever the need is, you'd meet it. And Lord, we're looking for you to do something that we cannot do, that will not only leave out of here different, but we'll leave out of here better than what we come in. We ask you to save that sinner that's nearest to hell. And Lord, help the one that needs help. For all this in your name, amen and amen. Let me encourage you today that if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can get saved today. He died for you at Calvary. Listen, took your place and bore your sin. And just as we've seen in Sunday school this morning about Philip over there with that eunuch when he was preaching or when he was reading out of the book of Isaiah, talking about that he was led as a lamb to the slaughter and to the shearers. He opened not his mouth, and he wanted to know who that was talking about. And the Bible said that Philip began there to preach Jesus. I'd love to have heard that message. Amen. That had to be some more message. And so I encourage you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for your sin. But looking at Samson, I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and go back and that to chapter 13 in the book of Judges. Chapter 13 in the book of Judges. If I could just preach for a little while, I just want to preach on the simple thought of Samson. Just a simple title, but a very extraordinary person. I'll be honest with you. Samson is a strange character in the Bible to me. He really is. I don't understand sometimes how God could use him, but he did. God used Samson. As a matter of fact, if you look in Judges chapter 14, you don't have to go there, but it said he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. And so God used Samson to judge Israel 20 years. As a matter of fact, if you go over to Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find out that Samson made it into the roll call of faith. He made it in over there, and that's what amazes me, that he made it in. But by the way, so did Jacob. If you ever study anything about Jacob over there, he was underhanded. He robbed his daddy of the his blessing from his brother, robbed his brother by his daddy. He was just underhanded on some things, but he made it into the roll call of faith. Sarah even laughed in the Bible, but yet she made it into the roll call of faith when she laughed about what God said he was going to do. Sometimes there's some things that amaze me in the Bible and people that God used. But now Samson, by way of introduction, let me say quickly, if you look in chapter 13, you'll find that an angel come to his mother. She was barren and said, "You're going to have a child." But said, "Look, beware." I said, "Don't drink wine or strong drink or eat anything unclean." In verse 4, you go down to verse 5, said you're going to conceive a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And so God had a particular plan for Samson's life. I'm not a Calvinist, I really ain't. I don't think God's got everything pinned down and it's going to work out just like he said it is, because I'm going to tell you, there are some man's will that gets in the way of God's will sometimes, and he don't get to do what he would like to do. What are you talking about? Is it not God's will that all should come to repentance? Shouldn't everybody, does he not want everybody to get saved? Well, sure he does. Listen, the Bible said, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But I can tell you right now, not everybody's been saved, and not everybody's going to get saved. But it is the will of God for them to get saved. But nonetheless, he had a plan for Samson's life. I do believe God's got a plan for your life. I believe God's got a plan for my life to be saved and then follow him. And then I'll guarantee you, he will show you what he wants done. And so this angel of the Lord begins to give instruction to Manoah's wife. Manoah is Samson's daddy. And you find right here that she tells him, he tells her what to do. Or what not to do. And so she begins to tell Manoah about all this story that the angel come and told. And you know, and he wasn't there. Manoah wasn't when all this started. And in verse 8, he said, then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. So he shows back up. And so when he shows back up, look in verse 12. You'll find that Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child and how shall we do unto him? You moms and dads, the best thing you can ever do is ask God how to order your children, and he'll tell you it'll come out of this book right here. I mean, you can have all the book learning in the world. And you can study everything that you want to study. But if you want to know how to raise your children, listen to me, moms and dads. If you want to know how to raise your children, get in this book right here. It'll teach you how to raise your children. It'll tell you how to love on them. It'll tell you how to correct them. It'll teach you what you need to teach them and what you don't need to teach them. It'll tell you everything you need to know. I believe it's in here. I believe if you want to know how to raise children and raise them right in the nurture and admonition of God and have Him pleased with your home, it's in this book right here. Would to God that people would learn that today. But then he said, Lord, teach us how we should order the child. Have you prayed that about your children? Moms and dads, have you prayed that? Lord, teach us how to raise our children. Lord, teach us what we need to do. Because if you think you've got it figured out, I guarantee you don't. I mean, I've talked to Paul Henry numerous times sitting back here. They're raising three and got them just about all raised. And you know what he'll tell me sometimes? I don't know. He says, I don't know. Unions that have raised some are sitting here shaking your head right now. And that's just it. You just got to seek God out and let God help you on that thing. Lord, teach me what to do right here. But you know what? He finds out that he's an angel of the Lord. He thought he was just a man of God, but then he finds out he's an angel. And he says, if you'll hang out, he said, the Bible said right here in verse 16, for Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And so he wants to feed him, and he says, I'll not eat. But he said, I'll let you offer it as a sacrifice unto the Lord. For it came to pass in verse 20, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, they got the sacrifice going, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. So the angel took off up in the flame that went to heaven. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Now watch Manoah right here. I told my wife on the way to church this morning, I said, I love him. I love this man. Because look in verse 22, and Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But look at his wife's response. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. He said if he wanted to kill us, he wouldn't have told us we was going to have a son. He wouldn't have had plans for our life if he was going to kill us. So Samson's mother had a little more sense than Manoah did right here. But I want to show you something. Verse 24, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and watched, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Samson had a good start. Samson had a great start. He was born in that to deliver the children of Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. But he was also born in that to live a separated life and that to the Lord. That's what the Nazarite was all about. If you go back and look in the book of Numbers back there, you'll find out when in Numbers 6, when the Nazarite vow was performed, you'll find out that they could drink no strong drink or nothing of the vine at all, not even vinegar, didn't want to eat no dried grapes, no raisins, no nothing. They were not to shave their hair, cut their hair, and they were not to be around anything dead. It was a life of separation. Can I tell you what me and you are supposed to live? We're to live a life of separation. He said in the book of Romans, he said, what was it? He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the perfect and acceptable will of God. I'm not under a Nazarite vow, but we are to live a separated life. The book of 2 Corinthians over there said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And so you'll find that Samson, as God began to move upon him, you'll find in chapter 14 that he killed a young lion over there. He began to see his strength, and God gave him some superhuman strength. You ever think about what Samson looked like? Do you think Samson was a big muscular man, or do you think Samson was like Barney Fife? Who do you think he was like? I mean, you got to give this thing a little consideration every now and again. I mean, think about it for just a second. I mean, if he was a Superman, I mean, looked like Superman, that might not be such a great thing. I don't know what he looked like. You can draw your own opinion, because the Bible don't say. But I think it was more of a superhuman feat if he looked like Barney Fife and God allowed him to do all that stuff. But as one fellow said, when he carries the gates of the city off over here of Gaza in chapter 16, he does have to have something to put the gates on. Amen. And so Samson was a man that had superhuman strength, if I could say that. If you look in chapter 14, he killed a young lion, just tore it with his hands and killed it. You'll find in the same chapter, you'll find that he fought with the Philistines, or in chapter 15, I believe it is, he fought with the Philistines over here and had a great slaughter, the Bible said, hip and thigh, with a great slaughter and killed them. You get over to the end of chapter 15, and you'll find out that he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. You'll find that when he was in Gaza, that he picked up the gates of the city, put them on his shoulder, and carried him up to the top of the hill. Now, you've got to have some kind of strength to do that. And God done that. Let me say this today, that friend, if you need strength, you'll find it in the Lord. All the help that you need and all the strength that you desire, and that to live your Christian life, you'll find in God. You can live for God. I can live for God. But Samson had his downfall, and that's what I want to look at this morning. You know, you find right here that Samson's downfall, you'll find if you go back to chapter 14, I believe it is, that Samson, he found a young woman, and that of the Philistines, and he wanted to marry her, and so he does. And then he gets mad at her because she told a riddle that he was wanting to fool everybody with, and so he goes away. And so as he goes away because he's mad, her dad gives her to somebody else. You'll find in chapter 16, you'll find that Samson goes into a harlot down here in verse 1. But when we come to chapter 16 and verse 4, you'll find it says this, that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. I want to look, if I could, for just a little bit at Samson's downfall. This is a man that had great strength, was able to fight great battles, was in the roll call of faith, but yet he ended up blind down in the prison house because he gave in. And I'll just be honest with you, I've seen some faithful men and men of faith give up, and ladies of faith give up. And it gets them in trouble. Now, we've read the story in chapter 16 of how all this happened. And I mean, she would come to Samson and say, where does your strength lie? Why did she want to know that? Why did she want to know where his strength lied? Because the Philistines wanted to get him. Listen, his adversary not only wanted to get him, but if they could, they'd have killed him. And so you know what she done? She pressed him every day and said, "Where's your strength lie at, Samson?" And so he would tell her this and tell her about, "If I'm bound with this, you can't get me. If I'm bound with that, I'll have no strength." And said, "If you weave my hair and put a pin in it," I said, "I'll have no strength." And all three of them were a lie. And she done all three of them. And it seems to me that some bells would have been going off in Samson's head that if she's done this to me and I tell her where my strength lies, she's going to take that from me. I want you to look at what it said right here in verse 16. "And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him." She done this day in and day out. Every day she asked and pleaded. Every day she wanted to know. Do you understand today that if Satan can rob you of your strength in the Lord, he'll do that? Where does your strength lie at? Where's it at, church? Where is the strength that you have and that to live the Christian life, living separated out of this world, living pleasing unto Him, being able to make it through battle after battle after battle? Where does your strength lie? It's in Jesus Christ this morning. We sung about it. Victory in Jesus. Listen, we're living. Are y'all with me this morning? Hello? Amen. All right. I know it's Sunday morning. Let's not go to sleep now. Listen, where does our victory lie at? It lies in Him. It lies in our prayer life. It lies in that book. It lies in living separated and not out of this world. That's where our strength is at, is in Him. I'm not a legalist, but I think you were living separated out of this world. I do. There's some people I know. They talk about being so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I mean, he left us down here, Brother Bob made mention of that this morning in Sunday school. I mean, he left us down here to win folk. I mean, you got to get some earthly mind about you and that to serve him because we're to go out and win others. But look, she urged him. She pressed him. You know what your adversary will do? He'll show up and he'll knock on you every day trying to get you to quit serving God. If you go back and you look in the book of Genesis, chapter 39, about Joseph. You know what the Bible said when he was over there in Potiphar's house? You know what it said? And it came to pass, talking about Potiphar's wife, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. I mean, she wanted to commit adultery, and he was having none of it. Listen, and you know what the story was of Joseph? He ran away from that situation. He was bound and determined. He said, "How can I do this? So great a sin." He said, "How can I do this against God?" He said, "How can I do this against Potiphar?" He said, "How can I do this?" Well, would to God that me and you would think that way. Because I'm telling you, Satan wants to rob you of your strength, and he's going to press on you at times, and he's going to desire to get you to quit and get you to fail. He said, "Preacher, if you failed, it would be a great disaster." And I think it would be. But I'm going to tell you, moms and dads, you failed this morning. You've got young'uns looking at you. You've got, hey, mamas and papas, you've got not only children, but you've got grandchildren and great-grandchildren looking at you. I'm telling you, there's a lot at stake in our daily battle. There's a lot at stake. I'm not telling you he's going to try to beat you to death every day and that he can beat you down every day. I'm not telling you that, but I'm going to tell you this. She come at him day in and day out trying to find out where his strength lied in the Lord. Now let me say this. Samson put him in himself in that place. Sometimes we put ourselves in a place that we don't need to be, that's going to make it harder on us than what it should be. Samson put himself there. Samson put himself there. You got to guard yourself about playing. Listen, I'm telling you the honest truth. Can I show you something? Go back. Go back into Judges chapter 14. Now this is when he married his wife. And he's told them a riddle. And what that riddle was about was when he had killed that lion and there were some bees building the carcass of that lion and he got honey out of that lion. And so he goes over there and he puts forth a honey, or puts forth a riddle, not honey, but puts forth a riddle. And he asked them this. Here was the riddle in verse 14. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. They didn't know what he was talking about. And they were each going to owe him a change of garment if they couldn't get the riddle. But now if they got the riddle, then he would owe them. Look down here in verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to make or to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Boy, he's going to hear that again after a while. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother. And shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. Seems to me, when Samson got over here with Delilah, he's been here before. He's heard the same thing already. He ought to know how this thing was going to turn out. Have you ever seen people or been around people, they just don't learn no better? I mean, they just don't get it. I'm talking about saved people. I mean, I get it why the world don't get it. They ain't got no heavenly wisdom. They ain't got no scriptural wisdom. I get that. But man, we ought to be a little smarter about some of this stuff. At least all it cost Samson the first time, he had to go down there and he killed 30 Philistines and took their garments from them and then brought them back up there. But man, he should have known some things. You know, there comes a time in our life that me and you should have grown enough that we ought to have enough discernment about us to be able to spot some things. I get it why kids mess up. They don't know no better. I even get it when young converts in Christ and they mess up. I get that. Especially when they're real young in the faith. Now I do believe the Holy Spirit's residing and can help them. He's helped me I don't know how many times. But I kind of understand when a young convert messes up. I even understand when somebody that we would call a babe in Christ. And let me say this, if you've been saved for a long time, you shouldn't be a babe in Christ. You ought to have some maturity about you. You ought to have grown in your life in Christ. So here Samson is. He should have known better. I preach my guts out. I pray and seek God. These Sunday school teachers around here teach the truth. I mean, we're a Bible-believing church and hopefully a Bible-living church. But if you don't guard yourself and watch yourself, Satan, the adversary, is going to press on you daily and he will vex you so bad you're liable to give in. And that ain't what we do. We're like Joseph. We run away from that thing. But I'm telling you, you run as fast and as hard as you can. When I see it coming, I run. He said, abhor that which is evil. That means get away from it. I don't understand why Samson, well, I kind of do. I kind of, in one aspect, I understand. Because I think the Bible's true. In verse 4, it said he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. He loved her. But I'll tell you this, she didn't love him. Because if she loved him, there's no way she'd have sold him out. And so here she is. I never find where she told him that she loved him. She just said, and he said unto her, how canst thou say, I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Boy, she was trying every wile and every trick in the book and played on his weakness. He gave his strength away. He yielded to her. How do you know he yielded to her? Because notice what it says right here after that. She urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Man, he just got tired of dealing with it. Verse 17, don't ever get tired of dealing with it. Don't ever give in. Don't ever give up. I have to remind myself from time to time. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. If you're going to sell out to Christ and live for Christ, you're going to have to fight a battle. The Apostle Paul tells us we got to endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just some things you got to endure through. There are some things you're just going to have to bear out under the load, and you're just going to have to carry it and go. You're just going to have to fight. That's all you're going to have to do. Y'all think I'm kidding when I say that all I want to do is just keep swinging. I ain't kidding. I want to keep fighting, man. I want to keep fighting. We're living in the last days. Satan is trying to destroy us, destroy the church. He's trying to destroy everything that we have, believe in, and are teaching and preaching and witnessing to folk about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is trying his best to destroy. He knows we're at the end. But he was so tired. And he told her, verse 17, that he told her, watch what your Bible says, all his heart. He just told it all. He gave it all up. You know what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 4? It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's what guides us and directs us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it's our heart that is turned toward Him. But if the adversary can get it turned toward Him, well, I'm telling you what he wants to do right now. I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me. If he can get your heart, he'll get all of you. You realize that, don't you? If he can just get your heart. You say, I'm saved. I know you're saved. But if he can just get your heart. Now, you ain't going to die lost. I mean, Samson, man, in all honesty, I believe Samson went to heaven when he died. I believe he went to paradise. You may want to argue that point with me, but I know he made it in the roll call of faith. I thank him folk that made it in the roll call of faith. I think they made it. Amen. You may not think so, but I think they did. Somewhere in life, Samson believed him. Samson trusted. But he failed right here. So, preacher, you're making it out that if we fail, it's a horrible thing. You reckon? You reckon? Because here it is at the end, and you've got to get a hold of this thing. It cost Samson everything at the end. He said, keep thy heart with all diligence. It's up to us to guard it. It's up to us to keep it. You know, you go down about three verses later, he said, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. It's what guides us. The heart is what guides you in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible said about Solomon? Solomon was the wisest man on the face of the earth. God had talked to him twice. Talked to him twice. I mean, audibly spoke to Solomon. Audibly spoke to him. You know, if God audibly spoke to you, you might want to listen. If God rolled back heaven, and I mean literally spoke to you, you might want to be paying attention. But you know what he's done? He sent us his words. You might want to be paying attention. The Bible said in 1 Kings chapter 11, and he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. The wisest man on the face of the earth, and them women turned his heart away from God. Turned his heart away. Turned his heart from God. You know what he was doing? He was building houses to other gods, and he was going in with them to sacrifice to other gods, and the God of heaven was the one that had set him up and blessed him and took care of him and seen and gave him all the wisdom and riches in the world. And here he is, an old fool. Why? Because his heart got turned away. Boy, it's important that you keep your heart. You need to listen to me. You need to listen. You better keep your heart. You better keep your heart. You better guard that thing. You better build something up around that thing and keep it pointed toward God. Because I'm going to tell you what, he just gave up, didn't he? Vexed him unto death. And the Bible said right here that he told her all his heart, he gave it up. And that's what the adversary wants you to do. You better guard your heart. Young and old alike. Listen to me, young people. You better be careful who you're looking for in a mate, what you're looking for in a mate. You better find somebody that loves God. You better find somebody that's serving God, sold out to God, and go on. If that's who God wants you to marry, marry him and go serve God together. Amen. You say, oh, preacher, I'm just telling you. If you want to do something for God, your mate can be a blessing or a downfall. I told another day over at the nursing home, I was talking about my wife while I was preaching, and it's all good, I promise you. Amen. I said, look, and I've told you all this before, I'm your pastor. I'm your pastor. And I'm here to help you, but she's here to help me. And she does. And she's a great help to me. You know what? I've watched a lot of preachers. And I talk about preachers sometimes because that's what I am. And that's what I watch and see sometimes. But I've watched a lot. I've watched a lot have a downfall because of their wife. But I want you to see something right here. Samson gave in, but look in verse 19. And she made him sleep. Always went to sleep. Boy, we're living in a time when folks went to sleep, ain't we? What was it the Apostle Paul said? Sleep not as others, but let us be sober and watchful. You know, because the day, I mean, we're children of the day and not of the night. He's went to sleep upon her knees. She called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. She got him. Take your Bible. Hold your place in the book of Judges, but go to Proverbs 7. Go to Proverbs 7. Boy, in Proverbs 7, he's talking about the strange woman. Solomon's talking to his children, talking to his son in Proverbs 7. He said in verse 6, for at the window of my house, I looked through the casement. He said, I looked out my window. He said, and I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. He's watching this situation take place. Passing through the street near her corner and went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn in her feet, abide not in her house. How did he know all that? I mean, he could tell she had on attire of a harlot because of the way she was dressed. It does matter how you dress. As the old saying is, if it ain't for sale, don't be advertising. I think she was advertising. She's subtle of heart. She's pretty slick. But she is loud and stubborn. How do you know that? I believe he could hear her. I believe he might have seen her before. You reckon? I don't know. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. She called him. So she called him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, you know what impudent means? No shame. She had no shame of what she was doing and of what she was saying. I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face. And I have found thee. You're the one I've been looking for. And I have found you. That's what she was saying. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He had taken a bag. Somebody once said he took the wrong bag. Y'all catch on to that. He had taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Watch this right here, verse 21. She's out to get him, and she got him. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Got him. Got him. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. Talking about a strange woman now. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Just get him to yield. If the adversary can get you to yield, get you to stop, get you to give up your strength, he's got you. And then it costs you. And that's what happened to Samson. It cost him. And here's what he said. He's laid down. She shaved off his hair. And he awoke out of his sleep after she said, "The Philistines be upon thee." He awake out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. Two times in the Bible, you find right here, Samson did not know God had departed from him. And Jacob did not know that the Lord was in the place. I don't know which one's worse. Whether if God is somewhere and you miss him, or you think he's there and he's not. But here he comes and he said, "I'm just going to go out and do what I've always done." You know, I know I've told you all this 1,000 times. That is a scary thing for me, that I think I'm just going to get off one of these seats right here when all the singing's done, and I'm just going to walk up behind this pulpit and I'm going to do what I've always done. I don't ever want to do that. Man, if I ain't got God's help to preach, I might as well just close my book and go home. You can say amen right there, because I believe that. In earnest. Listen, he didn't know that God wasn't there. And he wished not that the Lord had departed from him. What a sorrowful place to be. And as I thought about this early this morning, as I was looking over it, I thought about, reckon how surprised Samson was when the Philistines come up there and got him. Think about that. Because it said, "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes." Reckon how surprised he was. I mean, he said, "I'm going to go from Delilah's place. I'm going to go out and I'm going to shake myself like I've always done. And I'll just tear them to pieces and kill them." But when he goes out there, they bind him this time. They got him. Why? Told all his heart, didn't he? He was in a place he shouldn't have been. He was with somebody he shouldn't have been with. I'm telling you, that stuff matters this morning. Joseph ran away from that. You say, "Well, Joseph still ended up down in the prison." He did. And then he ended up in the palace. Where did Samson end up at? They took him and they put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. He ended up in prison too. Joseph ended up there because he done right. Samson ended up there because he done wrong. He shouldn't have never told her. It cost him. She cut his hair, lost his strength. He said, "I'll go out and do as I've done before." I believe he was surprised when it happened. And when they caught him, they put his eyes out. And not only that, did they put his eyes out. Look in verse 25. "And it came to pass when their hearts were merry," talking about the Philistines, "that they said, call for Samson that he may make us sport." They're going to bring him out into the Colosseum out there, into the place of their gods, and they're going to make fun of him. That's what they're going to do. And that's what they do. They make fun of him. Now, God avenges all this. His hair begins to grow back out. He tells that young man that's leading him, that boy that's leading him around by the hand, he says, "Show me where the pillars are." And in one last thing in Samson's whole life, he gets a hold of the right pillar and the left pillar that the house is born upon, the Bible tells, and he pushes them out. You know what he said right here? Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women, and beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the middle two pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Well, see there, preacher, he killed more at the end than he did in his whole life. Yeah, but look how he died. He died down in the prison house with his eyes took out, and he died with the enemy. I'm just telling you, it matters. Look how Joseph died. God used Joseph to save the children of Israel. Joseph died in a good old age, because that day when he could have sinned, he ran away from it. Samson told his heart, and it got him in trouble. You got to protect your heart at all costs. Let's bow our heads, if we would, across the house.